Log Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. Of the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up and ordained us to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we will do. And we'd like to also say shalom to everyone that is tuned in the viewing and listening audience. We know that the only reason you have tuned in unto our program is for your great love and fear toward the mighty Yah. And tonight we're going to deal with something that's beautiful and wonderful, because we're going to deal with the chief joy. Yahweh has a chief joy, and he also teaches us to have a chief joy. Because what is more special and what is more great than that thing or that one or that something that allows you to rejoice? And we're going to deal with, what is this chief joy? If we start off in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, in the first verse it reads, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to acquit them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The Creator is letting us know here that he has an acceptable year in which we will be able to proclaim vengeance, and that we will be able to proclaim comfort, and that we will be able to proclaim joy, and that we will be able to proclaim praise, that we will be able to proclaim that trees of righteousness and the planting of Yah, so Yah can be glorified. But first, we have to know, we have to understand what is this joy, and is the acceptable year of this chief joy, of this joy for mourning, of this vengeance, is it anywhere near? Or is this a far-off, fantastical hope that only maybe our children's children's great-great-children might be able to see? Well, look here in the book of Psalms 137. Start reading in verse 1. It reads, by the rivers of Babylon, where are we today? Are we by the rivers of are we by the rivers of Jericho? Or are we by the rivers of Babylon? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yes, we wept when we remembered Zion. Some of our people don't even know what Zion is. They just think it's a cute name, the name they child. To remember Zion. And if you begin to remember Zion, then you will understand why we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. Yes, like they do right now, they want to hear us sing, and they want to see us dance. They want to see us perform and bring them joy. But what about us? And they wasted us, required of us gladness, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing Yahweh's song in a strange land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem, my chief joy. Yes. Why is Jerusalem so important that Yah's servant said, I need to be more concerned with Jerusalem than I do need to be with even my chief joy? And what is your chief joy? What's the one thing that you go all out for to be happy about? What's the one thing you go to the ends of the earth for just to be in joyous adoration of it? That one thing is The psalmist is saying, don't let that come before Jerusalem. And why wouldn't you want anything to come before this? Why is Jerusalem so important? Ever get to see Jerusalem? Are we ever get to understand what it feels like to be in Jerusalem? Or is this fantasy, fairy tale, some fantastical preaching? Is there even a time for that thing we should adore above our chief joy? In the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, start reading in verse 4, where it reads, lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. Now let's just pause for a second. Why would Yahweh tell us this if this wasn't going to happen? Why would Yahweh tell us that there's an acceptable year for to proclaim vengeance, to appoint joy for ashes? Why would Yahweh give us all this hope if it's not going to happen? And if he said the word acceptable year, then this has to be a time, not some kind of fantasy. When you read a fiction book and watch a fiction movie, it don't tell you what year it is. They use fake years. Stardate 2485 and stuff like that. They don't have real things going on. Yahweh's letting you know an acceptable year where you can proclaim vengeance for our Elohim and appoint oil of joy for mourning and ashes. What is it and when is it? Then he let us know to lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come unto you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. Only Yahweh can allow and make this thing happen. See, the Most High, everybody's wondering, what is Creator going to do? How is he going to bring about his word? How is he going to start to manipulate the nations to even think about letting us go? See, you got to pay attention. You got the world running scared now. Of course, media hype, but it's still an occurring thing. The world running scared over this so-called thing called the coronavirus. Stock markets are tumbling. And only Yahweh can do a thing like that. A little virus, microscopic little bug that causes you to sneeze and cough and wheeze and have a temperature. How can this little thing, I thought that America was the greatest country on earth. I thought that China has the second strongest economy, and I thought that Russia was the second strongest military power on earth. How can a cold mess up the entire economy of the world? Because the Creator did it. Whether or not this cold, this flu, this virus brings the world to its knees or not, it's already brought them to a point of panic and disarray and uncertainty in fear, and only because a few thousand people out of the billions upon billions got a cough. But Yahweh does things like that. And why would he even start doing this thing at this time? What time is it that he would do this? Is this the acceptable year? Is this the time to proclaim vengeance? Well, look what the Creator lets us know. Furthermore, in here, in verse 6 of Isaiah 60, the multitude of camels shall cover you, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of Yahweh. Well, why are they showing forth the praises of Yahweh? When do you do that? Why are they doing that? Why they got to do it, and where are they doing it at? When do you show forth the praises of Yahweh? Well, let me show you. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Yahweh sets the standard here for when to show forth praises. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 23 reads, "And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten thereof. But in the fourth year," what year? The fourth year, "all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yahweh therewith." When? The fourth year. Why? Because the fourth year is where Yahweh has set aside for praises. You ain't got to believe me. I didn't say it. Yahweh just said it. Yahweh made that rule. I make that rule. This book been along way longer than me, so I didn't make the rule. Yahweh made that rule. This is not gematria. This is not numerology. And this is not I Ching. This is the word of Yah. He said, in the fourth year, you shall give, the fruit shall be holy to praise Yahweh therewith. So what are we doing in the fourth year? When are they bringing forth all of their substance for the praises of Yahweh? When do you think Yahweh is going to have this happen? Whether it's this coming fourth year, or the fourth year in 7 years, or the fourth year in 49 years, or the fourth day, or the fourth month, it goes down in the fourth. That represents Yahweh's praises. Go to the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter. "Because let every matter be established by two or more witnesses." In Genesis 29, verse 32, it reads, "And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. And she said, surely Yahweh has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." And the first child she had, she said, Yahweh has seen or looked upon my affliction, and of course that's vision. And of course vision is representative of number or the order of one. Why is that? Because the first thing you need to do is see. You need vision. Without vision, the people perish. The first thing Yahweh made was light. So there can be vision, sight. We can see now. In verse 33, "And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because Yahweh has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Shimon, or Simeon," which means that he heard. And what was made on the second day? The heavens
And what does Yahweh sit on as his throne? The heaven. And where did Yahweh tell you to pray to? To call on his name. And he'll hear from where? From heaven. Because Yahweh hears. Yahweh sees. And she conceived, verse 34 again, and bore a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. And the Levi was the third son. And that's what the third represents. The joining. That's why he's Yah's servant. He joins people unto the Most High. He's the one that binds people unto the Most High. This is his servitude, to be that link in that adjoining factor to connect you to Yahweh. But then verse 35, and she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, now I will praise Yahweh. Therefore she called his name Yehuda and stopped bearing. Well, there you go. The fourth son, Leah, with her profound wisdom, called him Yehuda and said, and this fourth son, now I'm going to praise Yahweh. Why? Why the fourth son? Why the fourth year is the fruit holy to praise Yahweh? Why that? Because this is when Yahweh has reserved for his praises. This is what Yahweh has done. Even if you go further in the Chronicles of the Word of the Creator, in the fifth chapter of Genesis. Because you got to understand why your chief joy has to be under that of Jerusalem. The psalmist said, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Meaning you can have your own personal favorite thing. You love the red and black Air Jordans flu game editions. You love the 1995 Mustang. You love the 80s Lakers. You love chocolate. You love looking fresh and fly when you step out. Whatever it is that you love the most, your chief joy, whether it be your children, your wife, whether it be a piece of food, an article of clothing, whatever it is, why is it that you should put above your chief joy Jerusalem? And here in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, we're going to read in verse 12, it says, and Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalaleel. And who is Mahalaleel? Mahalaleel was the fourth generation after Adam. That's who he was. What does Mahalaleel mean? It means praises of Elohim. It's actually, you'd be like, how does Mahalaleel mean praises of Elohim? Mahalaleel? That don't even sound like Yehuda. That don't even sound like hallelujah. Well, actually, it is the root to the word of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mahalaleel is where hallelujah comes from. That's how ancient this person here is. His name is actually the root of the highest praise unto Yah. Hallelujah, or hallelujah, as you say today. Mahalaleel, and his praises to Elohim. Fourth son, or fourth generation after Adam. Why was his name this in the fourth? Because that's when Yahweh reserved his praises. Why was the fruit holy in the fourth year? Because that's when Yahweh reserved it for his praises. And then if you go unto the book of Leviticus 23, and what am I showing you? I'm showing you there has to be a certain time for Yahweh's acceptable year. And why? Because it said in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, 61st chapter, it said, to proclaim the year of the vengeance to our Elohim, the acceptable year, vengeance for our Elohim, to appoint the oil of joy for the ashes of mourning. Why is it that there's an acceptable year for this? This is going on. When is it? And does this have connection to our, what should be above our chief joy, Jerusalem? And I showed you why the heathens will bring to us their forces in all these things for the praises of Yahweh. Well, this has to be at a certain time. And we're going now to the book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, start reading in verse 10. It reads, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you have came into the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you shall bring forth a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests, like the trees and the fruit from the trees. Before you even do anything with it, the first fruit that falls from these trees, you have given unto Yah for praises. And this is saying, in the beginning of the year, when you reap the harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you. See, this is acceptable at this time. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a lamb, a he lamb without blemish, of the first year, for a burnt offering unto Yahweh. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour, mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to Yahweh, for a sweet savor. And the drink offerings thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. Why the fourth part? And you shall eat neither, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the very same day that you have brought an offering to your Elohim. Meaning, just like the fruit of the trees, you can't eat of it until you went and praised Yahweh with it in the fourth year. Well, same with this grain. You can't eat of the new grain until you have brought an offering unto Yahweh, your Elohim. It shall be a statue forever about your generations and all your dwelling. And you shall count unto you from the next day after the Sabbath, which of course is what day of the week? The first day. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the next day after the 7th Sabbath. You shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh, and you shall bring out your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 10th deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven, and they are the first fruits unto Yahweh. Now, why is this even important? Why? What is the Feast of Weeks? It's the Feast of First Fruits. But why is it? What does this have to do with the fourth? Well, let me show you what it has to do with the fourth. If you look in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the third verse, the second verse says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts." Here's the first one. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7 days is Sabbath of rest. Holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. That's the first feast day. But the second one in verse 5, the 14th day in the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. That's the second one. In verse 6, in the 15th day of the same month of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, unto Yahweh, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. That's the third feast day mentioned. Verse 9, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, when you have come into the land which Yahweh give you, then you shall reap the harvest, and you shall bring the sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest." This, what I just read, is the fourth feast. It's the fourth appointment of Yahweh. And be it that it's the fourth appointment of Yahweh, what is he having you do? He wants you to bring his first fruits, your first fruits, the first thing that grew out of the ground for you in the year, bring it to him and praise him with it. Praise Yahweh for it. And it's the fourth one. Well, my gracious, it's like the fourth feast day. We're going to praise Yahweh. Leah's fourth son, she praised Yahweh. The fourth generation after Adam was named after the praises of Elohim. The fourth year of the fruits of the tree were holy to praise Yahweh. Why all these fours for praises? And why is it having to do with something that comes first, the first fruits, before the first thing you do? Well, because that's what Yahweh requires first, is his praises. Go to the book of Psalms 113. In Psalms 113, verse 1 reads, "Praise ye Yahweh, praise, O you servants of Yahweh, praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed is the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to going down of the same shall Yahweh's name be praised." When is it supposed to be praised? From the rising of the sun, which is when the day starts. From the rising of the sun to the going down of this same shall Yah's name be praised. That's when you start praising Yah, when the sun rise. Well, what did Yahweh show us? When is the first sun rise? Because then you can start to understand why the praises of Yah is aligned on this frequency of four. In the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, the 14th verse, and Elohim said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. If the Creator made the greater light to rule the day, what day did he do it? And when did he do it? And did he just put it in the middle of the sky, or did he set it in its course from the beginning? Or if you're talking about my Elohim, whose work is perfect, of course he set it in its course from the beginning. He didn't do how we do. I'm going to start it right here in the middle. I'm going to start it right here at this point. But after today, it's always going to start at this point. No, Yahweh started from the beginning, at the beginning. And when's the beginning of the day? When the light comes in the morning. So when this light is coming in, that's what you call sunrise. And Yahweh said he made these two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And Elohim made the stars also. And Elohim said, set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. You see, not only do you bring the fruits of your trees to praise Yahweh in the fourth year, not only did Leah praise Yahweh for her fourth son, not only was Mahalaleel the fourth generation after Adam, and his name is even the root word to praises of Elohim. Not only is the feast of first fruits, your feast of weeks, the fourth feast day, but even Yahweh's praises is ordered from fourth day. This is what Yahweh has done. And if this is how Yahweh has done so, then where does that put us when it comes to understanding an acceptable year to proclaim vengeance of our Elohim? Let's go back to this Isaiah 61. And what I'm showing you is that Yahweh don't have his servants preach the feel goods without purpose. It's good to speak good things. It's good, as Isaiah said, to preach good tidings. But it's only good because it's real. It's only good because it's complete. It's only good because it's whole. It's only good because it will come to pass. Because if this was JC preaching, you would be mad and upset that you've been in America for 100 years and you don't have no hope of deliverance of when he's coming. Because they said he would come in 2,000 years. Well, it's 2020. Where is he at? But what does Yahweh say? In Isaiah 61, again, we can look at this with some clearer vision. Isaiah 61, verse 1 reads, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. That's who he's talking to, because the prideful don't care not one word of what we're saying. But to the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Is not Isaiah the servant of Yah? That's what he does. He joins, and he's binding up the brokenhearted. Are we not brokenhearted? Is that not what's going on with our people today, right now, at this very moment? You dealing with a broken heart? Something got your heart broken. Money gone. Children don't like you. Family gone. You in jail. Something's going down, and it got you brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. To claim liberty, freedom. That's what that means. That's what liberty is. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Ain't you a captive? Wasn't you brought here on a ship, under the bows of the ship, in chains? Haven't you been here the whole time under the thumb of the oppressor that enslaved your foreparents? You were captive. Bind, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You are bound here. It's called a bond servant. To proclaim the acceptable year. When is when are you accepted? When are your praises accepted? When is your offerings accepted? The first thing you want to give, when is that accepted? What does Yahweh want first so it can be accepted? To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim. Comfort all that mourn. When is Yahweh going to take vengeance? And if Yahweh's taking vengeance, what is he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's declaring war. Yes, if Yahweh's taking vengeance, he's declaring war. And when does Yahweh declare war? I'll show you in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And you already know why it's in the fourth chapter. We ain't even got to explain it. But in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, in verse 34, reads, "Or has Elohim tried to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war?" And war rhymes with four. And that's when Yahweh declares this war. Because he's getting vengeance. He's getting vengeance. And why is he getting vengeance? Look in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Because you got to understand when this acceptable year is. You got to understand why your chief joy got nothing on Jerusalem. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse reads, "And he said unto Abram, know for a certainty, know for a surety, that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And why 400 years? What's 400? 400 is 4 100s. You can break down 400 in various different kind of ways, but at the end of the day, it's 400 years. And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward will they come out with great substance." Hold on. Did he say that nation whom they serve, will he judge? Yes. Why is he judging them? Because they oppressed us. And they need to be judged for it. And that judgment is part of Yahweh's vengeance. Well, go to the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. In Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, in verse 1, Ezekiel 14, verse 12, reads, "The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send my famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these men, three men were in it, Noah, Daniel and Job were in it. They should deliver but their own souls and their righteousness, says Yahweh," says Yahweh. Let me make sure I got the right scripture. Well, I'm going to keep reading. Verse 15. "If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, so it is desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Though these three men are in it, as I live, save Yahweh, they shall deliver neither their sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered. The land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, sword, go through the land, and that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Master Yahweh, they shall deliver their son, neither their sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send the pestilence into the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it men and beasts. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith Yahweh, how much more when I send my four grievous judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and pestilence, to cut it off from man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left the remnant that shall be brought forth. Both sons and daughters, behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, and concerning all that I have brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, says Yahweh. Now things begin to take shape. Now we see that Yahweh said, as he showed us through his psalmist, don't let me forget Jerusalem. If I forget Jerusalem, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, then let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. Let my right hand forget her cunning. Because Jerusalem has salvation in it. Then, the acceptable year, Yahweh is letting you know when he's accepting, when he's pouring out his vengeance, when he's declaring his war, when he's exacting his judgment, and he uses four sore things, four grievous judgments. And there's the sword, and is there not war going throughout the world today? There's famine, there's noisome beasts, and now in today, yesterday, when the news hit major throughout the world, this little pestilence that's ravaging the planet, it was the fourth day in a row the stock market was tumbling. And not only that, at that time yesterday, stock market, the United States stock market, lost 4% of its market value. Why 4%? Why 4 days? Why is it this pestilence that's causing this drama? Well, because this is Yahweh's hand. And Yahweh is doing everything in his power, which is everything, to bring about his word. But even still, when these things begin to occur and start to happen, he said, but even though he's made Jerusalem become low, he left a remnant that we can look at and we can say, yes, this is good. Yahweh is righteous. He is the Savior. He has deliverance. But we need to look even closer into this. Go to the book of 1 Chronicles. I'm going to go to the 6th chapter. Verse 1 reads, 1 Chronicles chapter 6, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles We're going to go to the first chapter, first verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then said Solomon, Yahweh said that he would dwell in thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who has with his hands fulfilled that which he spoke with his mouth unto my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, there was no city among all the cities of the tribes of Israel to build a house in that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people, but I, and I is Yahweh, have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people, Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. But what? David. And what tribe does David belong to? And where is the city of Jerusalem? It belongs to the territory of Yehuda. There's 12 states, you can call them, among the nation of Israel. And the fourth state, Yehuda, and the capital city of this state and of the entire nation is Jerusalem. And it is done so because that is where Yahweh chose to place his name. Now, why would Yahweh place his name in Jerusalem, in the state or the territory of Judah, Yehuda? What does Yahweh require of his name? Well, let me show you in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 8, where it says, I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's what Yahweh requires of his name, that you give him praise. And where else is he going to put his name? He ain't going to put it in the 10th state or the 10th territory, the 15th or the 30th. He's going to put it right there where he puts all his praises. Order of four. This is the frequency that Yahweh wants you to be on, so you can give him his praises. You got his name in the city of Jerusalem, which is the territory of Yehuda, which is the fourth tribe. You got King David, which is his chosen Messiah to represent what? What is King David? Represent. We're going to show you what King David represents. If you go to the book, we're going to start in 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, the 23rd chapter. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, Verse 1 reads, "So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. And their number by their heads, man by man, was 38,000. Of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of Yahweh, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised Yahweh with instruments, which I made," said David, "praise therewith." Well, what? Hold up. Why would David do that? Did David just randomly pick out a number of people to praise Yahweh? Is that what he did? David just said, 4,000. That's what we're going to do. Why didn't he pick 5,000? Why didn't he pick 9,000? Why didn't he pick 20,000? Why didn't he pick 2,000? No. David picked 4,000 people to be set aside to give Yahweh praises with instruments that he made. 4,000 of them. And why 4,000? Because 4 is Yahweh's praises. It even says it here in verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised Yahweh with the instruments which I made. That's what David made, to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites were Ladan and Shimei. So now he went in to give you who these people are. You see, he made instruments. David was about praise. If you go even to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, it reads here, first verse. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Yaakov, and the sweet psalmist of Israel," said. Why they call him the sweet psalmist? What is a psalm anyway? Well, a psalm, it means, in Hebrew, psalms is tehillah, which means praises. It's for praises. So the sweet artist of praises, basically. That's what he is, a specialist in praises. And you know David was the specialist in praises because David wrote the majority of the Psalms in the Scriptures. The book of Psalms, by far, is probably the most read book in the Scriptures. And it is the most quoted book in the Scriptures. Thousands upon probably millions of people have written poetry and songs based off of Psalms. I myself make most of my songs based off of Psalms because this is the expert of praises. Because David was about God's praises. And David was also a man of war. This is what David was about. Why else would Yahweh give us this revelation in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter? Verse, of course, we'll start at verse 3 to verse 4. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now, Yahweh has seven everlasting covenants because Yahweh has made a holy covenant. The people of Israel are a covenant to the people. And we can't be a covenant to the people if we ain't a covenant to Yahweh. And we holy. Therefore, there's seven everlasting covenants, which was revealed by Moray Elisha Yisrael, one of Yahweh's prophets. And the fourth everlasting covenant is this one I'm reading right now. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. David. Fourth everlasting covenant. The covenant is named to him. The first covenant, they go in order in the book. The first covenant is the covenant of circumcision. The second covenant is the covenant of the Ten Commandments. The third covenant is the covenant of the Sabbath day. And the fourth covenant is the covenant of the sure mercies of David. This here is Yahweh's order. Why is the fourth everlasting covenant named after King David, who was the expert of praises, who set his kingdom in the house of the Most High in order so that 4,000 will praise Yahweh on musical instruments that he made? He made them. That's how you know he was the expert of praises. When you read the book of Psalms, it says the Psalms that David wrote, the Psalms that David wrote for the chief musician. People talk about they got problems with people writing their own song, writing other people's songs. David was the ghostwriter. He wrote everybody's tracks. That's what he did. People up there singing out of the book of Psalms, David wrote it. See, they didn't have all this type of stuff they got today. Royalties and publishing rights for what you wrote. David wrote it and said, sing these praises to Yah. 4,000. A man of war. Fourth everlasting covenant. Fourth everlasting covenant that Yahweh has made. King David rules and will rule in Jerusalem. He will rule in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city, and Yehuda is the fourth tribe. Yahweh, when he brings vengeance, he'll use his judgments. And of course, he has four grievous judgments. Yahweh wants his praises from the rising of the sun, which the first time the sun ever rose was on the fourth day. Yahweh wants his praises first, which is why the fourth year you can bring the fruit from the trees to praise Yahweh. Yahweh wants his praises first, which is why your feast of first fruits of harvest, the feast of weeks, is the fourth feast. Yahweh wants you to be on a certain frequency, be in a certain order, in a certain dimension. And that's four. And why? Let's go back to that Isaiah 61. Let's see if we can now see what Yahweh is saying. Verse 1. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. This is what Isaiah is saying. And this is what any servant of Yahweh would say when they know that that's the truth. Of Yah, Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings, mean whole tidings, things that are real. If I say it, it's going to happen. Good tidings to the meek. So humble, just wait. Hold your head and just be patient. All ye meek, Yahweh, he got us. He got you. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. When is this acceptable year? Why? Far is the fourth year. And the day of vengeance, because Yahweh is going to bring forth his judgments. And this is a war. And he's going to use all his four sword judgments. Vengeance on our Elohim, of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. Yes. Because when Yahweh exacts vengeance on his enemies, you're in mourning because these were your oppressors, and you've been mourning. But he's going to comfort you in this vengeance to appoint them. And this is what he's doing in this year. This is what he's doing in this day. He's appointing to them that mourn in Zion, which is Jerusalem, which should be above your chief joy, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. And when are you going to put on the garment of praise? In the fourth, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, in the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So what now? The Most High, he is giving you his word of encouragement. And he's setting forth his word of praise, that he's coming to do this thing. But you have to know when it is. And this is why you shall be having Jerusalem above your chief joy. Let me even show you further what this chapter says. And strangers, verse 5, shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall you boast yourselves. Why are they doing all of this? As Isaiah 60 had already told us in verse 6, that they shall bring forth all of this to show forth the praises of Yahweh. And when is that? The fourth year, the fourth day, the fourth month, the fourth time, the fourth generation, the fourth hour. It's all going to be revolved around this four. You shall shame, verse 7, Isaiah 61. For your shame, you shall have double, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Why else should your chief joy have nothing on Jerusalem? Because your chief joy, which you want, what you long for, what you attempt to go get, can't do nothing about an everlasting joy that Yahweh will give. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, Yahweh, love judgment, and I hate robbery for burnt offerings. And I will direct work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown to spring forth, so Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Well, hallelujah. This acceptable year, in all this joy that we are about to receive, it is coming, and it's going to be dealing with Yahweh forth, which represents his praise. That's why you even give Yah praise, because of joy. We're going to joy in Yah, and we're going to rejoice in the mighty Yah. And you better start rejoicing and clapping now, because if Yahweh has said it, it shall be done. So comfort your souls, rest your weary hearts, and wait. Wait, as David said, wait, say thee, Yahweh. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Yeah. Yah's law is perfect, converting the soul. Yah's testimony sure, making wise and bold. Yah's statutes are right, rejoice in the heart. Yah's commandment is pure, enlightened in the eyes. The fear Yah's clean, endure forever. The judgment to Yah, true, and right is only to the praise Yah. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. First and foremost, all praise to Yah, creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them be. Scorn is reviled, Yah's biz, but Yah, dissolve them like fizz. Let me tell you who he is, the Almighty, El Shaddai, he who sits on high, El Elyon, the Most High, Elohim, Shalom, Yisrael, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Yakai, to glorify Yah, that is my job. Yah is one, arm, leg, leg, arm, head, done. JC, died on the cross, so we never won. Our people calling on deities, blind, deaf, and dumb. They use what they call enemies to rest this for the heat. Why my people so blind that they can't see what's right under their feet? Clear as the concrete, I'm a hunter for the lost sheep. Send it up, step a lot to the Most High. Y'all set the most sure, they can watch the moon. Y'all statues are right, rejoice in the heart. Y'all commandment is pure. Lighting in the eyes, the fear, Yah, clean, endure forever. The judges of Yah, true, and right, solely never. Praise Yah, come on, Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, yeah. Who was our king? Yah, sent us into captivity for our iniquity. And who was our judge? Yah, he'll have mercy and compassion on me. Just love him and praise him daily. Who was our lawgiver? Yah, that's the only one, no other. That's why I left the stone cutters. All of our lovers betrayed us. This is why it is Yah, and he will save us. No more following our lust. In Yah I trust. He made my bones rise from the dust. Breathed in me life. But my people hated truth. Started living trite. Now we're here as it is this day. Destroyed. Our men lay slain in the streets.